The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Happy President's Day. I'm Jared Smith, in for Gil Alexander the next 2 days. This is Umbers Game, powered by DraftKings, hanging out live in downtown Las Vegas at the D. Kelly Bidlin in his usual perch. We are recapping what was an intriguing NBA All-Star weekend. I don't want to get too much into it. In our first hour, we did touch on what the All-Star game has become, but congratulations to the East and all of the points that were scored last night. They win the All-Star game over the West, but again, not the best watch. What was a good watch this year was the NFL. We were talking in our last segment, Kelly, about the Offensive Player of the Year awards futures markets. Of course, the futures markets, we're not in the stage where we're rushing to bet this, but it is a good talking point because I'm always interested in framing the discussion as we can then turn the page, turn the chapter, and move on to what is going to be, as I said, a cold, dark offseason, but we're still excited to discuss this stuff. Defensive Player of the Year doesn't move the needle for me. And for you, I think it's more about the guys at the top that are probably going to still be at the top when the season starts.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen this play out a couple years now, right? Micah Parsons, T.J. Watt, Nick Bosa, Myles Garrett. Those are your four guys at the top of the
board. Mount Rushmore.
I think it makes a lot of sense. And guess what, Jared? I think one of those four guys will most likely win this award again.
What about Max Crosby, though? And again, that's a guy that took a little steam. And I would say, frankly, Hutchinson.
Hutchinson.
Those two guys.
I mean, he was big early in the season last year, right?
100%. And those are guys that I don't want to say aren't as talented as the guys at the top, but I think they don't have the same pedigree just yet based off of experience and based off of namesake, perhaps, with Bosa and Watt. I mean, these guys have multiples of themselves in brother form around the NFL. But you look at those two players, and Max Crosby, I think, might have had more impact of one player on one team than any other sport just because of how bad the Raiders defense was at times last year, but he was the shining star.
Yeah, no, he was, but it's there's just in this award so much win equity tied up at the top, right?
I think 7-1
on Crosby or 12-1 on Aiden Hutchinson just right now.
Too short.
It's just way too short. I would need much longer odds to be even interested in that.
Yeah, Chris Jones, I think, is a guy you look past because of the contract stuff, because of the fact that you don't like to bet on, like, Jones is a guy that's an effort guy. Like, you need high effort, and I just don't think the Chiefs early in the year, the hangover, right? We saw it this year. We saw them actually, to be fair, it was more midseason. They kind of had that hangover early in the year. They actually started pretty solid, and then they tailed off. The Raiders lost Christmas Day, and then, you know, things kind of moved up from there. And in some of the other guys at the bottom list, Will Anderson, right? The Texans win equity. You want to talk about a team that maybe overachieved over their skis in year one under D'Amico Ryans, but certainly Will Anderson was a big reason why that Texans defense with Ryans had a better year than expected. But just to your point, not quite the star power as those top four.
Yeah. It's just right now, I think that's when we talked about it a bit with Offensive Player of the Year. I'd have to wait in season before I feel. And look, what it's the past couple of years, it's been in season. Who of those four guys do I think have a best case compared to the odds of what are attached to them right now?
Injuries become a thing. And I think that's the hard part about betting this type of event or award. Off season, you get an injury in July in training camp and you don't even make it to the season.
So burned.
The good news is this next awards market we're going to talk about, we don't have to worry about injuries. I guess kind of we do, but in a different vein. We're not worried about the coach getting injured. We're worried about the team that he's coaching getting injured. And that actually leads us to what took place in this market this year, because the entire coach of the year market, you want to talk about framing the market. The market was framed in this awards genre based solely off of quarterback injuries and what Kevin Stefanski was able to accomplish, despite the fact that the Browns played, what, five different quarterbacks this year? I know four for sure. I forget if there was a fifth or not.
I think it was five.
You remember the Brady meme with the four? Yeah, we're going to the extra digit here with the thumb. Five quarterbacks for Kevin Stefanski this year. Can I name the five? P.J. Brown, right? Watson, Flacco. Now I'm kind of drawing a blank. Who are the other guys?
It's four.
It is four. It's four. I thought five was a stretch, but four is still really impressive because usually only three of them are on the roster at any given time and only two of them dress for the game. So the fact that they went through four, and of course Flacco gets comeback player of the year. He was the fourth.
Five.
We got five.
Jeff Driscoll started the last week of the year. That's what it was. Everybody remembers the great Jeff Driscoll Browns moment this year.
Five. Now, to be fair, Jeff Driscoll was not the reason why Kevin Stefanski won Coach of the Year.
Yes, yes.
But five quarterbacks in one season, and this makes this market very difficult to bet on because, right, there are rules with this market. Just like there's rules with the offensive player, there no quarterbacks. With the MVP, all quarterbacks. With this market, the rules are a little more nuanced, Kelly.
Yeah, totally are. I think look, we've got Jim Harbaugh at the top.
New coach always gets an inside track. The rules are the new coaches, the rookie coaches, yeah, get an easy, like they're graded on a curve compared to the other coaches.
Right. It makes sense. And the one I wanted to bring up about this one, Jared, is just it doesn't matter if we talk about this, we talk about MVP, we talk about a lot of the things that are posted in DraftKings right now. The ones that keep jumping out to me are the Green Bay names. And it's Jordan Love, it's Matt LaFleur that are way up there. And I get it. I do. I get it. And I'm not even sitting here trying to tell you it's a bad bet. But what's going to happen? Okay, for either one of those two to get home, what has to happen?
For LaFleur? LaFleur. They have to win the division.
They have to win the division.
Like, and they have to be, and everyone has to stay healthy. Everything's got to be perfect.
Let's just start right there, though. They have to win the division. Just wait till Green Bay division odds are released, and I would be hammering that. If you really believe this much in LaFleur, in Jordan Love, look at those as sprinkles to add on to your bets on a Green Bay division bet, right?
That's
all I want to point out, because there's a lot of people are getting excited about this Green Bay team. I think with good reason. I would just be, look at these as small additions to a bigger division bet that you're going to end up making on the Packers. And, you know, kind of in the inverse, Matt Brown brought this up last week where he thought there was some value on Jared Goff at 30-1 in the MVP market. I mean, it's just, if you're looking at Detroit on these kind of markets right now is being treated like they're the second team in that division.
Yeah, and the ironic part is in the actual futures market, they're not. They're ahead where the Packers are. I think the Packers are going to be that sexy team everyone talks about in the offseason. They will be the Lions of last summer.
Yeah, it's so far it's been Green Bay and the Rams, right? That's all I've heard. In the past week and a half, it's been Packers and Rams. Me either.
The reason why I don't buy the Rams, Stafford was healthy all 17 games.
Yeah.
What are the odds he stays healthy all 17 games, 2 years in a row?
So I was one of those people early season and even in the offseason last year that I was like, oh, both the Rams and the Bucks. I was like, look, I've got no bets on them, no expectations.
Those are the two overachievers.
Well, they still had some of those holdover pieces from Super Bowl,
especially the defense on the Bucks.
So you're like, I don't know how good or bad these teams could be. And they ended up being pretty decent this year.
Say above average.
But everything you just said about the Rams is completely true. How often are you going to run that pure with health, with Stafford? And
that was whole question coming into the year. That's the reason why I was down on them. I thought they had an opportunity because they drafted more than ever before to actually have some young pieces to get excited about. But do you trust Stafford to stay healthy for the duration? And the answer was you should, because he was.
And then you could have never predicted Puka Nacua was going to be as good as he was. Like,
that was one of the drafted pieces. They hadn't drafted anyone that was of value in the last 3 years because they spent all their money on assets and free agents and loading up for that Super Bowl run. They trade all their draft picks.
Trade all the picks.
I think the Rams are one of those teams that you at least take into account, but not in this market. Let's go a little further down the list, because I do think, obviously, D'Amico Ryans, you could make a case that if the Stefanski quarterback variance doesn't take place, right? D'Amico Ryans or Dan Campbell. Matt Campbell. Certainly not Matt Campbell.
Don't bet that.
Do not bet Matt Campbell. Those were the two guys last year, I thought, based off of the team trajectories that deserved to be coaches of the year. The Lions and the Texans going from the outhouse to the penthouse virtually overnight. But the situation in Cleveland was unprecedented. I mean, it was such a unique situation. Stefanski's had postseason success, right? They've been to the playoffs. Remember, they almost beat the Chiefs a couple years ago. And I think it just was an interesting dynamic that got him to the top. But let's try to figure out if there's another D'Amico Ryans or Campbell vibe this year. Maybe it's Mike McDonald with the Seahawks, right? The thing that scares me with Seattle is you lose both coordinators and the head coach, and you now trust Geno Smith to kind of just run the show. They've got talent, And Mike McDonald, I think, has got a chance to renovate that defense. That fits the mold. Dave Canales fits the mold, right? Rookie head coach.
It feels like you got to be a, that's another one where you got to be a believer in Geno, and you got to believe this Seattle team's going to make the playoffs. But if you do, yeah, sure. I think 14-1 is worth a bet.
What about Sal at 14-1? It's probably you throw him out because of Rodgers, or do you think
they
overcome the fact that he coaches for the Jets?
Yeah, I think that's I think that would be one. If I had to bet this right now, the two we just brought up are probably
Sal and McDonald.
It would probably be the two bets I would make
now,
because you will, like we talked about this last week a little bit, and you know, Matt brought this up. I think it was accurate of MVP of Aaron Rodgers. You know, if we talk Aaron Rodgers to Deshaun Watson, there's going to be all these stigmas hanging over these guys. That how much is it going to be held against them, and for how long, right? How long? I think that does matter. I don't really know. But Robert Saul is not going to get punished, you know what I mean, by the media for something maybe they're holding over Aaron Rodgers. In fact,
sure,
maybe instead of some MVP votes going Aaron Rodgers' way, it turns into Coach of the Year votes for Robert Saul. I don't really know how they're going to handle that. But I think it's something to be aware of. Like D'Amico right now.
D'Amico. I love D'Amico Ryans, but you can't top last year.
So, like, right? Like, that's
how
a tough.
You improving,
I think,
off
you could
of
cross him off.
I think you cross off McVay and Eberflus too.
Me
frankly,
too. Me too. I mean, D'Amico would have to somehow do better than what he did last
Impossible.
Year. I think for them to really consider him, I don't think that's going to happen.
Steichen, you can make a case that Richardson got a incomplete grade last year, and maybe this is really Steichen's first year with Richardson if he stays healthy.
Yeah, but even so, I need longer than 14-1 on that team, right?
Certainly agree.
Because you're talking playoffs. They need to be in the playoffs for him to be considered.
Playoffs?
Playoffs?
We're talking playoffs already? We are. A numbers game. Returns on the other side. Beeson.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Well, start your morning with a daily dose of winning strategies, insider tips, and the latest buzz with the free VSiN Daily Newsletter. In today's newsletter, I'm already seeing picks. Tyler Shoemaker's got college basketball on the card. Take a look. Tyler does a great job with his numbers, not only for the men's basketball, but women's basketball. That's what I love. I love when we get unique sports in soft markets. And Tyler Shoemaker, of course, college basketball, both men and women. Get expert analysis and the latest odds delivered straight to your inbox. Absolutely free. VSiN.com/newsletter to subscribe. I think our pal Bill lady was up late last night trying to figure out how to spin the NBA All-Star results into the news. I don't know how you spin that positively. Yeah. We were talking during the break here. Jared Smith in for Gil Alexander on the numbers game here, live from the D. Kelly Bidlin with us as well. Day after the NBA All-Star game, it was a unique experience, to say the least. We were joking during the break about Adam Silver's message during the trophy presentation when he was handing Giannis the trophy. He said, well, you scored the most points, and you could hear angst, anger. Yeah. I mean, he's almost wanted to beat Giannis over that with the microphone. Like, you guys didn't play any defense, but here, have your trophy.
I don't know. It's just, I don't know what he was expecting.
I know he
made a bit of a speech about it, but come
he
on.
He did make
like,
a speech.
It's the NBA All-Star game. Like, what do you think's going to happen?
I think
NBA news. Jacque Vaughn has been fired by the Brooklyn Nets.
You know what's funny?
I don't know how much that moves the needle for everybody out there, but Brooklyn Nets. Apparently, Jacque Vaughn didn't do a good enough job with a bunch of mediocre players.
You know what's funny? Jacque. I remember when the day they fired Steve Atkinson, the Nets. It always seems like the Nets have these like really plucky head coaches that are like tryhards, and they never give them a fair shake.
It
happens all the. I thought Atkinson was a good coach.
I like Jacque Vaughn too. Like I like him too. I mean, he's got a bunch of players that could be really good who are really young right now that are on nice contracts, and that's why you wanted to acquire them. I don't know why.
There's
we'd
your
be
breaking
shocked.
News here on not a very pleasant All Star. There were no Nets in the All Star game, probably right. They don't have the same rules as baseball do. They don't have the same rules as baseball do, where there has to be a player from each team on the All Star team on the All Star roster. So Jacque Vaughn gets his walking papers today. Of course, Kelly Bidlin and the NBA crew does a great job covering the association. JBT, our senior NBA analyst, will be on VSiN Primetime later today. I'm sure they will be covering that story. We are keeping an eye, a very close eye, on the President's Day awards mark. I'm just kidding. There's no awards market in President's Day. But we are getting tweets from people who are celebrating President's Day. Scott C., we appreciate the tweet, pal. He said, spending my day off from the post office attending mattress sales dressed as George Washington. Apparently, cosplay is a big thing for the President's Day sales.
No, sales are, though. He hit the nail
sales
on the head.
Are, yeah.
We were wondering about parties and what do people do to celebrate. No, it's always sales. Scott's absolutely
mattress
right about
sales.
That.
Mattress sales. Yeah. President's Day. Yeah, so get your buy one, get one mattress for President's Day, right? It's the first president, George Washington. You get the top rate, first tier price on a mattress. We appreciate the tweets, guys. We really do.
I bet your local Ford dealership's got a great deal going on right now. Like, you should go check that out. That's really what it is.
I should have waited. I just bought a car about a month ago. I should have waited for President's Day.
Come on, man. You got to circle it on the calendar.
Yeah, the President's Day sales, second to none. And again, if you want to send us tweets, at Kelly Bidlin, at Jared Lee Smith, at Beeson Live. If you guys are celebrating President's Day, we don't think it's a highly celebratory holiday. It is a bank federal holiday with kind of a school holiday mixed in between. I don't remember specifically my school holiday President's Day vibes growing up.
I don't remember that one off school.
I remember in middle school we got like a winter ski week. I went to a private school up until high school. And then I went into high school, and then I went into public school after that.
They actually called it Ski Week?
They called it Ski Week.
We had
a week off in February for all the rich, and I wasn't one of them. I was on the lower end of this income bracket when I went to, it was university school in Davie, Florida. And we had a ski week in February, so we never got President's Day. We got a whole week off for skiing. I never went skiing. I'm not a skiing guy. I would fall down the mountain. Ski Week was a thing in my school. We never got President's Day.
Wait, this was down in Florida?
In Davie, Florida, University School. We got a whole week off for ski week is what they called it.
Wow.
I know. Hey, listen, kids get off these days for all kinds of stuff, but it's different now because they've got to go to virtual class. It's all about the virtual class,
no,
right?
No, wait, that's not still a thing, is it?
I've heard that.
Really?
I've heard snow days now are virtual school days. Not every school district, but I've had friends and I've seen
that
stuff on social
sense.
Media
yeah.
where snow days now are virtual school days.
That is a killer.
I mean, they did it all during the pandemic. They had a lot of virtual school days during the pandemic.
Yeah, so it makes sense. Yeah, it makes sense. You're right. Wow, that sucks for kids, though. Like that.
I'm glad I'm not of school age anymore.
I mean, even like if there's like, and now I'm thinking, you know, back to us down in South Florida, if there's like a tropical storm approaching.
We used to get off for hurricanes. I remember I got off for Hurricane Ida.
Those kids got to sit in school till their internet goes out or something. Like,
imagine,
that's terrible.
Imagine there's a hurricane going on outside and you're trying to do like algebra. That would not be the vibe for me growing up.
Kids, we're going to hang here until your internet goes out. I'm like, I'm freezing.
We've certainly gone off the rails from President's Day. Yeah. All right, Hideki Matsuyama. I watched a little bit of the Genesis yesterday. I do think this is the time of the golfing year where I start to really get involved, right? We've had a few tournaments. We've had a couple of events. We had, what was it, there was an event in Hawaii, right? And there was a couple events overseas. But this is really, I think, the Western swing as we kind of build up towards the Masters, as they'll go down to Florida in a few weeks as well. I think this is kind of the time when the golfing market starts to heat up. What was your vibe yesterday from the tournament? And market-wise, what are we looking at for the Masters, too?
Yeah, it was a brutal Sunday for the long shots crew, that's for sure. We had, let me make sure I get this right. Wes was on Patrick Cantlay and Will Zalatoris.
Oh, man. Both those guys had decent starts to the round, but not great ends.
Yeah, Matt Brown was on Will Zalatoris. I was on Xander Schauffele. At one point, they were all tied at 14 under with a share of the lead. I believe that was right around the turn. And then something happened. Hideki Matsuyama really heated up, Jared.
Berserk.
He
went into berserko mode.
He sunk six birdies on his back nine.
Wow.
Six birdies on his back nine, ends up cruising to a win at the Genesis, a three-stroke victory. Luke List, Will Zalatoris, T2 at 14 under, Hideki at 17 under par. So, my tournament got saved a bit by an Adam Scott chip-in to get inside the top 20 on 18.
Yeah.
And then I had a couple top 10, so it was an okay. It was a better tournament than what the beginning of the golf season has been so far for me. Wanted to talk about this, though, because it's a great time of year to start adding to kind of your Masters portfolio. And this is not something, Jared, that I personally do for too many other majors, usually because you only got about a month in between.
Sure.
the everything's kind of priced correctly. But this is the beginning of the golf season, kind of as you were talking about. We always start in Hawaii.
Yep.
And okay, you've got Masters odds that are posted basically all year round. Even as soon as Masters finishes, it takes about 2 weeks for books to post them up for the next year already.
Which is awesome, by the way.
Yeah, it is. But to me, this is really the only tournament that you can, as the early part of the season progresses, you can kind of scout guys out. Okay, who's looking better than they were a year ago?
Years ago was Max Homa, right?
Sure, yeah, good example. Like that,
those numbers came down significantly before the actual tournament.
Sure I had a bet on him, and it definitely lost. And then there's guys that you can watch and say, okay, they're kind of drifting a bit. Yeah. So I think this is always a great time of year to kind of grab some Masters tickets as these tournaments progress with guys that you know have played well at the Masters. Okay, who's played well at the Masters that just won this tournament, who's won it just a few years ago? Hideki Matsuyama would be a guy that would fall under that category, and he was not exactly the guy I was planning on talking about. With this, I haven't bet Hideki yet. He is 35-1.
That number's going to come down.
It already has. It was about 45-50 yesterday, right? So you got to catch this stuff as it's coming down. But I think it's something just to keep in mind as these tournaments over the next few weeks progress. You're going to have Mexico Open this coming week. Not really a big field there. Tony Finau is about the only player of consequence playing in that one. But then we go down to Florida, and you're going to have a few of those events right in a row where you have the opportunity to add some tickets. And a couple guys that I've bet so far that I think you could get an opportunity on again. Justin Thomas, I bet him at 32-1. I think if you're seeing JT anywhere in the 30s, now he had an ugly tournament this past week at the Genesis. Stop playing with Tiger Woods, Justin Thomas. It is not helping you. He had an ugly tournament this past week, but he's looked like he's put some things together here over the first few tournaments of the year. So I've added him already. Will Zalatoris was the one this past weekend. Finally seeing Willie Z look like he's back and off that back injury, looking okay. Played some really great golf this weekend. He's had some great finishes at the Masters in only the few times that he's played there, T6 and then second that one year. So he was a guy that I added on Saturday at 35-1. I think if you're talking about any of those players, JT, Will Zalatoris in the 30s, I think could be great ads right now. Zalatoris odds, those got chopped down. Why am I not seeing Zalatoris on this? 35-1 at DraftKings right now. It's the same number I bet him at. Yeah. I think that's a great bet right now for the Masters. So it really, I wanted to mention those two names, but as these next few weeks progress, you can continue to do this stuff. And you want to do it in the tournament and get in front of those number moves that likely come on Sunday or Monday.
Look aheads for the golf. And of course, the Long Shots crew with Matt Brown and Kelly Wes will be all over it. Also all over it, Steve Mackinnon. The Daytona 500 is in like 3 hours. We'll get some picks next.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you're looking for a betting edge on college basketball, the VSiN experts have got you covered. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get our daily best bets emails, 24/7 video access, the upcoming College Hoops betting guide, bracket breakdowns, plus full access to VSiN.com with our exclusive betting split breakdowns on every game. Visit VSiN.com/pro to subscribe today. That is VSiN.com/pro. Jared Smith in for Gil Alexander for the next 2 days here on a numbers game. We are live in downtown Las Vegas at the D Resort and Casino. Kelly Bidlin here as well. We'll be joined in a minute by Steve Mackinnon, but we were talking about college hoops there for a minute. I will rehash the fact that I did take 9 points with Iowa State tonight. They are on the road at Houston. This Iowa State team is certainly one to keep an eye on down the stretch. I think the Big 12 is the best conference in college basketball this season. I think the road wins for Iowa State have been intriguing. Anytime you go on the road and you beat teams like Texas, TCU, and I think that is where held Baylor down as well, almost knocked off the Bears on the road, lost by two. But I think this Iowa State team, one of the best defensive teams in the country, according to the metrics. And again, winning on the road is not easy, but keeping a low total game, right? This game between Houston and Iowa State, low total in the 120s, high 120s, low 130s. Catching 9 in a game with a total that low, I think, is pretty solid. Kelly, do we have Steve yet? Not quite yet. Okay, let's continue to recap what we talked about during the last segment, which was a little bit of golf And I think, Kelly, as you guys continue to move forward with long shots and get ready for the Masters, I'll give you a couple names that I really like on this list. First of all, I would absolutely be betting our guy Willie Z. I think Willie Z, to me, if you find him at 35, 40 to 1, I think Willie Z is absolutely a guy that I would be paying very close attention to after what he did over the weekend. And Matsuyama, too, right? Like, this is a guy that's had a ton of success in these tournaments before. Yeah. And I think Hideki Matsuyama, if you feel like the momentum is there, it's like betting a look ahead in the NFL. You know that they're playing good golf. The number really has only one way to go from now until when the Masters starts.
Yeah, Decky's been a tough guy for me to figure out. I've been on him a couple times early this season. It's just, you know, he started out in Hawaii at the Century. He was 58th at the Century. Not a good showing there. The Sony, he was T30. Then Farmers. Okay, he's T13 in a solid field at the Farmers. Pebble Beach, an elevated event. He's back to T71. Mm. Phoenix Open, then he's T22. So pretty good finish. And then goes out and wins the Genesis. So he's been a tough guy to get a read on this year. Actually, it felt like that at the end of last year or two. What you know about Decky, though, is he's won the Masters before. So we're talking about that.
Yeah.
He's won the Masters before. And he's always going to be great with his irons. And approach game at the Masters matters the most. So where he might struggle with other parts of his game. And it was, don't get me wrong, it was the putter that got it done yesterday for him when he's able to drain everything in sight in that final round. He gained, He gained over 2 strokes putting yesterday on the field. So it's always... for the vast majority of golfers that I'm looking to back every week, it is that strong iron game. And then, sure. Okay, are they also good off the tee? Are they also good scrambling or something like that, depending on what the course setup is for the week? But you kind of know a little bit what you need with the Masters. And approach play is always going to be key. And Hideki is always great with approach play. Gained over 2 strokes on approach for the event this week.
Is the Masters, and this might sound weird, is it the easiest event to handicap just because it's the same course every year? You know exactly what you're getting. It's like it's the first mate. Like it's so consistent with what you're handicapping. The variables rarely change.
Yeah, it really, that's, so we were talking about the Genesis, and Genesis, you'll call it course history, you talk about a lot of
this. And they play at the same course, too, but the Masters is, like, so specific on what you need
right,
to win.
So some of these courses, we usually use the word stickier course history than others, right? Which guys tend to play well there year after year, which guys tend to not play well there year after year? Genesis is about number 2 or 3 on tour, only behind the Masters. I mean, the Masters is number one. The guys that play
that sticky.
Yeah, the
I've
guys that play
that
well there usually play well there or have a better chance to play well there every year. The only other wrinkle that's thrown in with the Masters, right, is that you get now, especially now with the Live Tour and everything, you get the true best of the best of the best playing in this tournament, where even this past week,
good
with
point.
It being an elevated signature event,
you're
still missing all the Live
golfers.
Players. Yeah, exactly.
Because the fact that I'm not invested in the golf markets as Kelly and the Long Shots crew are, this probably is something I've missed over the last 6 months or really 6 months or so. Or I guess when the golf season was really in full swing a few months ago before we got that little break. Has the Live intrusion, I guess, impacted the way that the markets are kind of cut up, right? Because usually in multi-way markets, it's some guys are kind of always on that same pricing tier. But when you reduce the amount of top, like for example, John Rahm, who's like, you know, always at the top tier, you take him off that top level, does it recalibrate, kind of filter down the way that the rest of the markets are priced?
Yeah, totally does. And that's something that I think the beginning of the PGA Tour season's been a little bit clunky because of that. We've had a lot of long shot winners. I think that the easy answer there is, okay, well, if you take a lot of the top guys off the board and move them off the tour, then it's going to open up a window for those longer shots to actually get home. And I think there's some of that makes sense, not, but the pricing and new pricing is definitely something you need to be aware of. That's for sure. Cause there are guys that, you know, used to be 40 to one that are now, that are now 30 to one, 28 to one because of some of those guys that have left.
I always like pricing outrights in golf tournaments is really hard. Like it just, and I credit a lot of the people that do really good work behind the scenes. And that's the thing that us as the average Joe Q public bettor doesn't realize. We see these markets and they look all fun and fine and dandy, but it's a lot of curation that goes into creating these multi-ways, especially at books like Circa and Westgate that take big wagers on these multi-way markets with 50, 100-to-1 pricing guys out there. It's not easy to price these markets. And I think the golf outright, especially once we get into the Masters, and I'm glad we're able to kind of frame that today because we're now getting to that point where the Masters markets become relevant and the golfing markets absolutely are intriguing as we move down the stretch. Do we have Steve?
We're going to have him next segment.
We're going to have him next segment.
That's right.
If you want NASCAR picks, stay tuned. Steve Mackinnon. We do have the Daytona 500 coming up in, I think it's at 1 o'clock local here.
What is it? 1 o'clock our time.
1 o'clock our time, 4 o'clock Eastern.
There's another race they had to get out of the way this morning. And I'm interested to talk to Steve about this because what is the, I mean, it's Florida.
Track conditions.
You and I know Florida.
We do. It can be a little wonky sometimes.
Well, even when we don't think there's going to be weather, there can always be weather. So I don't know what happens of how late do we go tonight. If there does, something ends up happening.
What's the latest that a Daytona 500 has ever been finished?
Okay, so I asked that exact same question to a friend.
Did we get into Tuesday? Have we ever gotten to Tuesday?
I got a 98% confidence level response of Monday night's the latest we've ever gone. But if this is, Jared, you and I are both not huge NASCAR guys. If this
I'm a huge sharp. NASCAR sharp is all I do. All I do is look at NASCAR odds all day long.
If this is the Super Bowl of NASCAR.
It is the Super Bowl of NASCAR.
Don't you push this for as long as it needs to go? And I know, I'm a golf bettor. I understand that there is always an event the next week and you kind of can't screw over
and
the next
getting
event.
Getting those cars to the new location is not easy. It takes a long time.
Oh, I think you came up with a solution. You race to the next event.
Where is the next event? If it's in like Alaska, just have like a million mile drive across the country. No, there's no NASCAR race in Alaska. I'm obviously being tongue in cheek here.
That would be okay.
I'm assuming somewhere in the South,
Atlanta.
Texas, Atlanta. Yeah,
a race to Atlanta.
That's about 500 miles too, right? That's actually
that's like a legit race.
Actually a legit race. I remember several times in my life, I have made the trip, the drive. I call it the 95 corridor, baby, from South Florida all the way up to New York. I remember
God bless you.
I remember one time I did it.
I did that once in North Carolina.
Stopping.
No, you didn't.
Kelly.
What is
16
that?
16 hours
I was gonna
straight.
Say 14. Okay, 16.
16. I left during the day. Morning time, and I arrived like 6 a.m.
You didn't stop?
I stopped
urinate. You weren't Gatorade bottling it in the car.
I stopped to go to the bathroom. I stopped to eat. I did not stop to sleep. I drove 16 hours straight.
Okay.
I only bring this up over 1,000 miles.
I only bring this up because when I went to Florida State, it was always my crowning achievement to be able to make it back down to South Florida without stopping, period.
Oh, well, you got to have a bladder of steel for that.
Yeah, that's right, you did. That's right. That's like a solid seven-hour drive.
Yeah, that's difficult.
See, or six or less if you drive like me. I also racked up a lot of speeding tickets on
over here. it actually fits perfectly into, again, our next segment where we will wrap up the show by talking to Steve Mackinnon and getting some NASCAR. What's the fastest you've ever driven on I-95?
Oh.
Have you gotten the triple digits?
Oh, easy.
Wow. Lead foot Villanova. I mean, you fit right in the Daytona 500.
Yeah, yeah.
We got to get him in the car.
I don't want to answer that question, actually.
He's going to incriminate himself. The good news is the statute of limitations on your speeding tickets have expired. Steve Mackinnon, we'll get his driving record and his NASCAR picks on the other side of Numbers Game.
The Sports Betting Network.
This week on DraftKings Sportsbook, new customers deposit $5. Get a no-sweat bet up to $1,000 in bonus wagers if that first bet loses. Download the app, use promo code VSIN when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. All right, let's wrap up a numbers game here on this President's Day Monday. I'm Jared Smith in for Gil Alexander today and tomorrow, live from the D in downtown Las Vegas. Kelly Bidlin here with us as well. And joining us now, we get him for this last segment of the show. Very excited to bring in VSiN.com writer and editor Steve Mackin. And of course, follow him on Twitter at Steve Mackin. And we're going to talk NASCAR with you today, Steve. Of course, the Daytona 500, a little bit of a pushback, weather delay yesterday. And so we get the great, the big race, the Super Bowl, the first big event on the NASCAR calendar, taking place on a Monday afternoon. So I guess first let's talk about that dynamic. The weather yesterday now bleeding into today, and we have a race happening before this one and the afternoon. What's the weather look like today? What are the track conditions? What should we know heading into the Daytona 500 later today?
Well, hey, thanks, guys, for having me on. First off, the earlier segment, it seems like you guys missed your calling. Perhaps you guys should be racing today.
Maybe. Kelly, for sure.
Maybe even be some of the, you know, they call them the road course aces or the road course ringers. Maybe be those type of guys.
I don't know, Kelly. You want to reboot that one, bud?
I'm good. I think there are some police officers in the state of Florida that I'm happy I'm off the road. I think that's the case.
Guys, yeah, hey, Monday racing. We saw this in 2020. Now, the Daytona 500 was delayed till Monday. The difference in that one is that one went to a Monday night race. We're only pushing this one back by about an hour. And it sounds like the track's going to be in good shape. They're going to have it ready to go. So I don't think if you handicapped for yesterday, I don't think you're going to see a whole lot different today. Now, just perusing my Twitter feed this morning right now, I see some sort of incident happened with a jet dryer on the track.
Oh, boy.
Some, you know, fuel dump or fire or something. So there's something going on there. Hopefully it doesn't affect anything as far as our start time and push it back. But if you handicap for yesterday, I think you're fine for today.
Well, that's good to know. We will try to update. I don't know what's going on with a jet dryer. That does not sound promising, but I do know that they need the clean track. What do you got for me?
Well, it's like the opposite of a Zamboni, right? Like you're taking the moisture
the antithesis
out
of the Zamboni, the anti-boni.
Instead of dumping moisture on the ice, okay? So, yeah, you got to dry out the track for these cars to race.
You do. I claim, at least we sit here in the expert role and the chairs. I know nothing about NASCAR and Daytona. So we hope you can fill us in on some of these details. I can tell you that Joey Logano sits in the pole position, but he is not the favorite in the race, Steve. It is actually Denny Hamlin right now, plus 750, the favorite to win the Daytona 500. Busch and Logano kind of in the second favorites role there at 9-1. Ryan Blaney, 12-1. And then you go further and down the list. Is there a name on this list that intrigues you? And is the market to fish in here, or I guess drive in, the winner's market and not the top three, top five market?
Well, I tell you what, I've studied this particular week's race more than probably any in recent memory. Daytona 500 is the Super Bowl of NASCAR. So everybody wants to play this. Everybody wants to bet it. What you want to think about this race here is this is an underdog dominated race. So being the favorite in a race like this is only for certain reasons. Now, Denny Hamlin's won this race three times. He's one of the top drivers expected to be on the circuit this season. That's why he's the favorite. The interesting guy at number two is Kyle Busch. He's gotten a lot of money coming in on him because he was 12-1 following the practice sessions on Saturday. I don't see him as a real favorite in this race. He has not done real well at Daytona or on these drafting tracks in general. Now, the interesting thing about Kyle Busch is he's one of six past champions in this race that has not won at Daytona. You get to a desperate state if you haven't won at Daytona and you're a champion because you think you're at the top of your sport. Daytona 500 is the premier race to win. And you got Busch, Chase Elliott, Brad Keselowski, Ryan Blaney, Kyle Larson, and Martin Truex, all past champions that have not won. That's going to be one of the more intriguing things happening in today's race.
Yeah, and then you have Jimmy Johnson in it as well. I know that's a name that a lot of racing fans are familiar with, but he retired or entered into the Hall of Fame recently and now coming back to race here, and that's a unique wrinkle as well.
Yeah, no, he doesn't have the equipment that everybody hears the name Jimmy Johnson. He's Hendrick Motorsports, seven-time champion. He doesn't have the equipment that he once had. He's driving for a smaller Richard Petty-led team, Legacy Motorsports. So I don't consider him to be a top threat here. He did run fairly well in the dual race on Thursday night. So I would expect him to be at some points running sort of up front. I wouldn't say at the forefront, but near the front. But I wouldn't expect maybe a top five finish would be the top you could get out of someone like him.
We're talking to Steve Mackinnon, VSiN writer and editor. Follow him on social media at Steve Mackinnon. I'm not sure if you're on Instagram or TikTok under those same names, Steve. But some of the names that were interesting to me over the last few years that have won this race, again, names that I've never heard of before, like Michael McDowell and Austin Cindric, Ricky Stenhouse Jr. last year. Again, these are guys that you don't typically think of at the top of the auto racing world. The long shots tend to be a better bet in this race. Is there a long shot today that catches your eye?
Yeah, that's an interesting comment you make there, Jared, because the three straight Daytona 500s have been won by somebody listed at plus 3,000 or higher, 30 to 1, basically. So you can score something real nice today if you pick that guy. Now, if I go at the DraftKings right now and look at the guys listed at 30 to 1 or better, first guy pops up is Alex Bowman, plus 3,500. He's a Hendrick Motorsports driver. Now, I expect Hendrick to be in contention at some point in the race. Where and when that is, I don't know. If he's the guy up in front getting pushed by a teammate at the end, hey, he could be the winner. You have no idea. Now, you can go even further back. If you're looking at a real surprise guy, maybe like a Michael McDowell when he won, very unexpected. How about a Corey LaJoie, plus 3,500? He was very strong in the truck race. He got to run the truck race on Friday night for team. So he was up front for quite a bit there. It almost seems like an air of randomness when you get to the Daytona 500, because the points aren't quite as important because we're not deep in the season. You got guys going for wins here today.
It's a fantastic point. I think these races, and again, I'm not a NASCAR sharp, but I do think when you look at the outright markets, you want to look at guys that you're going to make a splash with. Now, the markets that I am willing to go a little bit chalkier in, and I feel the same way when I do bet these similar multi-way, you know, long list of players could possibly win events like golf, I look to the matchups. I look to the matchup, Steve, and I think the matchups in this particular case, you get the available matchups on DraftKings. I'm seeing Kyle Busch against Martin Truex Jr. He's about a 25-cent favorite. Joey Logano's a big favorite over Ty Gibbs. Are the matchups a prop market, I guess, or a derivative market of the actual odds that you like to look at in the NASCAR races that offer some value?
Every week, I will bet at least 3 to 5 matchups. Now, for this particular one caught my eye here. We talked about Kyle Busch here being a plus 900, being the second level favorite for this race. If you compare him in the matchup to Denny Hamlin, Denny Hamlin's a minus 145 favorite. He's plus 800 compared to plus 900 in the outright win. Now, this is, as I look at this, I'm thinking people are thinking either Kyle Busch has a good shot to win, or he's not even going to be up near the front. Now, if you're thinking along those lines, I would be more than willing to lay that minus 145 with Denny Hamlin, because he has been so good at these plate type of tracks or drafting type of tracks that he's bound to be up somewhere near the front at the end.
Kyle Busch over Kenny Hamlin, minus 145 currently on DraftKings. All right, final minute here before I let you go, Steve. Who's winning this thing today?
Well, I famously, I run simulations for every race on VSiN. There are 36 races. Last year, I hit almost a third of them, 11 races. Today's race is the Daytona 500 at Daytona is what I call handicapability grade of F because of the randomness of who might win or where guys finish. Now, that happens because you get guys eliminated by big wrecks and that type of thing. So grade F, obviously the worst. So if you're going to bet this race based upon simulations, there's better ones to do it in. But this is a good race to find some underdogs. That said, the simulation calls for Joey Logano to win, Austin Cindric 2, Denny Hamlin 3.
Wow. Cindric, the long shot there. Again, one of the guys that won the race a couple years ago, coming from outside the pack. And again, Denny Hamlin over Kyle Busch. That is the matchup to look to. Steve Mackinnon, writer, editor over at VSiN.com. We appreciate the time. Good luck with the race, pal.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
Great stuff. Fantastic numbers game here on President's Day Monday. Of course, I want to thank our guests. Steve, you just heard from Jay Kahn from SiriusXM, The Hockey Show, and of course, the man pulling the strings here, Kelly Bidlin, and our crew behind the scenes. Been a fun show, bud.
It has. You know what? I just remembered my worst speeding ticket story, too. How about two in the same day on my drive out here to Vegas when I was moving in West Texas?
Keep that one in the saddle for tomorrow, because I'll be back and we'll be chatting a little bit more about the NFL, college hoops, and everything else here on A Numbers Game. VSiN continues next.